Hi, Dominique, and welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead, and I guess our first one for the new year. How are
Thank
you doing?
you. Thank you, Andrew, and Happy New Year. Glad to be back with the palm trees, but I can't see them in your background.
Yeah, I think maybe let's get out of January in London to move on. But the good thing is, hopefully I've fixed the Wi-Fi at home. So I also can have Bloomberg open and other stuff as well.
Progress.
And obviously we see everything happening in LA. How are you doing? I spoke to some friends actually who do live at I guess very close to
In
that.
Pacific Palisades.
Around there, Brentwood too, is that kind of,
Yeah, Brentwood, yeah.
yeah,
They've been.
and they're not in their home. They're at the like a He's at his sister's home, and his whole family's there. So, definitely sounds pretty scary. How are you doing? And what is it like there?
So we live far. We live in the south, so about 15 miles from the fires, but it's quite devastating. I mean, even where we live, there are ashes falling down. The air quality is bad. Of course, it's nothing compared with people who've lost their homes. But yeah, I think it's going to. I mean, if there is something good coming out of it, it will be California rethinking, its climate policies and its zoning laws. Indemnifying people is going to be difficult because the state insurer is bust, just like in Florida. Private insurers have started to withdraw from the state, so the state has put up a state-funded insurer, and we're talking about 50 billion plus damages. The insurer has about 300 million in reserves and some very limited reinsurance. So there's going to be a rethink of zoning laws. So hopefully that will be the good things that comes out of this.
Yeah, I know. I listened to these guys debating about the situation in Florida with hurricanes, and just saying insurance companies are not really covering, or they're really not providing the coverage. It just statistically, it's not worth it. So in the end, the state backs it, and then the state can't pay, so they just get the federal government to back it. And then the question is that right? Should the rest of the country be paying for all of that as well? That's another question. And not great, but it could
100%.
also just be like, do house prices come down? I mean, that is it more is it a negative to live in these kind of climate, or
100%. And
it
I
will be a
think,
debate that'll have, yes.
and Florida is more likely to get money from the federal government than California. But
Especially for
again,
the next 4 years.
100%. But again, it's when you have tough choices to make, that's when the good changes come usually. So hopefully that's what we get out of this crisis.
I think a lot of people, think California is an amazing place to live, which it is, but like, taxes and everything. I mean, clearly there probably needs to be some disruption there.
Oh, 100%. It's amazingly beautiful and amazingly expensive. So we need a good dose of common sense to, steer the ship in the right direction. So hopefully that's where what we get.
Okay, let's dive back into markets. Let's call it like the first full week of the year for markets. Actually, not even full, because last week a lot of the yes, sorry, yesterday, for President Carter's funeral, that a lot of markets were closed. But so obviously payrolls is the big thing. Let's dive into kind of any comments, everything, your take from payrolls and everything else that happened this week.
So it's always good to be diversified when you have an analyst have a range of prediction. So one of your prediction is likely to work out. So one forecast that worked is a no cut this year from the Fed,
Yeah.
because that's what the payroll showed was basically strong employment growth, tight labor market, but stable wage growth, and that the current productivity growth, which as you know has really improved relative to before pandemic, that wage growth is consistent with the 2% inflation target. So I would call the pay today's payroll a Nirvana, central bank Nirvana number, because you have maximum employment with stable prices. That's what it's consistent
Right.
with. On the other hand, my expectation of a slowdown, a supply-driven, demographics-driven slowdown in payroll is not showing up yet. But I think it's going to show up because, as Bilal and Ben discussed this week, one of the excuse me, the ashes.
Actually, I was gonna say,
As I discussed, one of Trump's first executive orders is going to be about tightening the border. We're going to get less immigration, and that's going to bring down labor supply and employment. But it's probably happening over a number of months. So overall, this was a really good number for the Fed, I would think.
Just quick question. Like, are you surprised equities are selling off a little bit? I mean, I guess I know it's like there's a perception that if yields get to 5% or something, like that starts putting a real break, and that's what we saw, whatever, year and a half ago, 2 years ago. Not sure that there's a real number like that, but this just generally looks strong. And like you said, earnings was even a little bit softer than what's predicted. By the way, congratulations on calling for the cuts consistently last year, and then also saying the whole time, that's just water, right? Just kidding. Calling for
Italian
the cuts and no cuts this year. So it doesn't really even seem. So let's think about it. Right now, we're not, probably nothing for this year. Hikes is still a little bit away, and we'd have to see inflation really, really come back strong. And obviously, there's also the idea that the variable that Trump will put a lot of pressure on the Fed if they're even considering hiking, at least in the first 3 or 4 months. That's like pretty much off the table, I'm assuming.
No. But in terms of market jitters, maybe these are pre-inauguration jitters because, as you know, Trump is fairly mercurial. Also, he has a range of policies, some inconsistent. So it could be that
Policies as
after.
in Greenland, Canada, Gulf of
No,
Mexico.
but that is
Yeah.
interesting because.
I kind of agree. Yeah.
No, but because when Trump, as a friend who hopefully will be listening to this podcast, told me, Trump comes out with outrageous statement, typically when he wants to move his audience attention away from an issue. So what issues could be on his radar screen? One possible one is Ukraine, where after all, it looks like he won't be able to solve it in one day. The other one, which I think is really consequential, is going to be a theme running through his presidency. It's basically whether to favor business or workers. And you saw that in the discussion about the H-1B visas. For our audience that's not American, the H-1B is a special category of visa for skilled immigrants that is used by big tech companies. And there was a conflict within the MAGA world between the more populist people who were saying this is just a way of keeping American wages low, and then the tech bro like Musk and his consort saying, and Trump, by the way, saying that we need H-1B because we don't have enough IT people in the US. And I think this is a really big theme. And so And it could be one reason why the market is having jitters. Is he really going to support business against workers? Another reason, as you said, is
But the
insurance.
market would want him to support business first workers.
100%.
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. The other issue, as you say, excuse me, is insurance. So is he going to blow out the budget? And unfortunately, we won't know until early next month what are the broad parameters of the budget. And then there is an issue with things like tariff and immigration. Potentially, if he gets if he makes deals with countries with large surplus against the US deals that they will buy US goods to make up for their surplus. This is very positive for growth and for inflation, by the way. But if he ends up in a trade war, this could be actually very negative for growth. Same thing with immigration. If he expels the 20 million he's talking about, we will have the mother of stagflation. So I think this sort of policy uncertainties and the big enthusiasm that people had around his election, this could be the reason for the jitters and the weakness.
Yeah. I think it's this, and I think, yeah, it's people were initially suspect about growth being strong and being able to keep inflation coming down. Then there became the narrative with Doge and that you can actually do both. In fact, as the government steps out of the economy, this actually is better for the economy, and net net will still keep prices down. And as yields have been trickling higher, I think people are re-questioning that theory. Although I still think it's possible. The one thing I was thinking about is, there's the this benefits the U.S. kind of scenario, like view in global trade. But then there's the also like, these policies hurt Europe, and at the end of the day, even if you force them to buy more US goods, if you're actually hurting their economy, then the global economy will net net be weaker. But maybe in the short term, it's not a zero sum game,
No, I agree. It's all between short term and long term, and even tariff. I mean, short term, we're going to pay higher prices, so it's going to hurt us. But the idea is that long term, we get growth more focused on the US, more US driven, which, I mean, to be honest, the US is already the most domestic driven economy, large economy in the world. But
So it doesn't have that big impact. And I will say a strong dollar is also somewhat of an offset, assuming the states,
Exactly.
for imported goods. So I don't know. Listen, I'm hoping it's gonna, for America and for the global economy, it's going to work out well. And I'm somewhat optimistic, I guess,
I am too. I mean, globalization didn't work out. It was completely oversold. We need some disruption. And for sure, we got a disruptor in the US. Let's see how this works out. Certainly, I think there is a fair, I mean, hope and excitement against about this new presidency. So yeah, lots to talk about.
One question before we move on, I guess. I kind of, and like what you're saying, Antonio, like I agree that the US economy in general seems like pretty strong. And there's definitely like a ground, pretty, let's give this new disruption or Trump's plan of ascent, all the the benefit of the doubt, and clearly people feel it's like a more pro. But so I understand growth is probably stronger than people think even now, and obviously this isn't exact. But is inflation definitely turning back up, or is it just sticky?
So right now it's sticky. Also, I think there is a good chance that we have moved to a higher inflation regime. for a number of reasons. You know, the 5-year real rate has really moved up, which is consistent with the Fed moving up its long-term debt, but most importantly, you know, stopping the cut at 4.3 percent. And there is a very interesting macro story there, and you got an inkling of it in some work done by the St. Louis Fed this week, showing that actually the recent driver of core PC has been the supply side rather than the demand side. And specifically, markup behavior on the part of workers and businesses. And I think we are moving into a period of greater conflict over the distribution of income. And I see Trump as election victory as basically representing that people were unhappy about the loss of purchasing power during the pandemic. And that is very inflationary. So we'll see. That is another theme for this year, definitely.
I mean, I when I listened to him give a speech, give an interview, like I guess like Meet the Press, whatever, it was like 2 weeks ago. You know, he was definitely more circumspect than I kind of remember him. Maybe he's starting from a low base, but you know, he was saying, he said something like, "I know why I got elected. I got elected because of inflation." And it was like, it wasn't like, oh, you know, I won, like, and so that did make me think, yeah, all the other stuff he's saying, but he's gonna try and focus on that. Now the question is, can he force inflation down? And like, does he misconstrue that he can, like, you know, people have tried that obviously many times in the past. But like you said, you know, the best way, one of the better ways to, you know, is if we just produce a lot more goods.
Produce
There's more
a lot
supply, yeah, whatever,
more,
you know.
yeah. I think his best bet with a short-term decline in inflation, it's energy prices. Because the problem with producing more goods is first you need to build the factories, and that is adding to demand. So for sure, investment adds to supply again, medium term, but short term, it adds to
Short term is a
demand.
negative, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then, okay. So going forward, I guess we still have a little bit of data, some data stuff, coming at, University of Michigan. I guess people have been looking at this a little bit, right? Especially if it's an outlier. Do you see anything there? And then
Well,
what about the key data stuff for next week?
you know, the thing about consumer confidence, it's loosely related to purchases of durable goods, but it's hard to draw a specific macro consequence, especially I think one reason is that it's so driven by a partisan politics. You know, there is data showing a breakdown of the survey between Republican and Democrat, and depending on who is in
Right,
power.
right, right.
So moving on to
Just
the
sad, by the way, but sad
yeah, really.
the country's just that partisan. But anyway, yeah, so go ahead.
Yeah, definitely. So moving on to next week, yeah, I mean we get two big data releases, the CPI. And CPI and PPI together will give us an estimate for core PC, which is what the Fed is targeting much more so than CPI. And you know, the consensus forecasts seem good. As usual, we will have Sam, you know, who will give us his refinement of the wisdom of the crowd.
Yes. By the way, once again, he called for a higher,
Definitely, he
you know,
got a
higher
his
headline
yeah.
number. And
Yeah.
actually, I checked, he was out, you know, a few days this week, but I checked and he ran his model yesterday, and it did not massively, but it did increase again. So there was some momentum. Maybe that's something we should look at too. But there was momentum going to the number that we thought it was going to be more and more of a higher number than consensus. Not massively higher, but higher, yeah.
Oh, that model of his really nailed it down, no question. So we'll get inflation, and then we'll get retail sales, and the retail sales consensus is strong, which is, by the way, consistent with strong growth and relatively stable employment. And this disconnect between the stronger growth and employment growth just reflects the ongoing productivity acceleration. So yeah. And so
The
in
company
terms,
should still be in pretty good shape as well. It's not just workers.
the sorry, the
I'm saying
what?
companies like margins and this, it should still be if productivity is continuing to be fairly strong.
Well, the issue is what happens to the productivity gains? It can be passed on to consumers with slower increase. It can be, of course, get into profit, or it can be passed to workers with
Workers
stronger
out.
wages. And one of the, I think, the long-term reason for American discontent and the election of a disruptor is a disconnect between the productivity growth and real wages, that real wages have been stagnating while productivity growth has been soaring. And you know, it's a bit unclear whether this will continue under Trump. I think what he and his team are hoping for is that GDP growth is strong enough so that we can have both strong profits and a strong stock market, as well as an increase in real income. We'll see. Very interesting time. So these are the two main data for next week. We'll have a few, a few Fed speakers. One Fed speaker I am particularly interested in is the new Cleveland Fed president, Beth Hammack, who dissented in December. And the reason I'm very interested in what she has to say, is that she seems to be breaking with a sort of a traditional FOMC culture of following the chair, not dissenting publicly. You know, we have a highly successful, super smart, hard charging Wall Street person who is not going to be afraid to speak her mind. So I think she and Bowman are the two FOMC members to follow. And Bowman, by the way, sorry, said that the FOMC should stop cutting after after the December cut. So I had nothing to do with that. No private conversation with
Maybe
her.
she was, yeah, she was reading your research. But let me ask you a question. If we think that is there close to zero chance of a hike, say for the next three meetings?
Probably, unless something really catastrophic happens, like there is a war in the Middle East, the price of oil is double. I mean, it's close to zero. As a friend of McElroy keeps reminding me, nothing is impossible. It's a question of probability, but this is really a tail
It's pretty
event.
low. Okay, yeah, I'm just watching the bonds. Like they've sold off, the curve sold off, but like not massively. I guess it's just had a big move and it's definitely sticky. You know, let's say that kind of 30-year at 5%, which has come back a little bit below there again. And I guess if equities are now selling off quite a bit, that probably would put a little bit of, I guess, a bid maybe for fixed income and safe haven. So to move on, we have a few trade ideas out today. One of which is to go short sterling yen. We're talking about all the strengths of the US. What a positive. You could just turn that on the other side to country that I'm currently in the UK, not having best of runs. And our view is that that's not over. And we do think that is as rough a shape potentially as the UK economy is, the finances, and then obviously probably Europe as well. Obviously, US in a much stronger position. And then also Japan, growth has been pretty strong there. Wages have been pretty sticky there, and we most likely see another hike, potentially even at the next meeting for the BOJ.
Yeah, who would have thought Japan as one source of global economic dynamism outside of the US?
It's only
That's
taken
a
30
little bit
years,
of the
but
wild side.
I was telling somebody that so many people I know in the US traveled to Japan with their families just over Christmas and New Year's. Then reading that by far private equity's largest focus and investments is in Japan, and that spread in across Asia, and that's been widening. So I think that there's a lot of positives for Japan. I really like that trade, short sterling yen. I'm not sure it's out yet, but I know Varesh is priced up. I think we've written it all up. Is I think we're doing is it's long gold and short euro, which is a trade that I think is great. I think euro will continue to struggle, and I think if growth stays strong and inflation is pretty sticky, and Trump will put a lot of pressure on the Fed not to hike, even if they need to start considering that, that shit feels like a pretty positive environment for gold, for gold and silver. So net net, I think that's an awesome trade. We also put out a short India long Korea trade, something that I guess we like on both sides of the both sides of that spread, especially India, and their a willingness to accept more volatility. So those are kind of interesting trades. I think Henry took some profit on the paying rates in Europe. He had closed the other leg earlier about the UK, which was good timing. Now taking some profit on Europe, but obviously there's a lot going on in rates and FX these days. I don't have to say that. And Trump hasn't even come into.
Yeah, we're going to get volatility galore
We are
this
going to
week.
get volatility galore. I agree. And yeah, so it should certainly be a super interesting year. Like we said, there's a lot of interesting stuff that we're doing, especially around the event analytics, tying in the work that Sam's doing, Neil's derivative work, across kind of assessing gamma, range, range category candidates in FX. The looking at the relationship between even the momentum of interest rate spreads as a driver for currencies, more work around AI and sentiment scoring on the Fed, and trying to make that more clear and giving explainability, which I think would be kind of super interesting. That's kind of it.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah. So I wish you and everyone in LA, everyone's praying for the fires to kind of die down, and for people, I guess, to hopefully their homes are okay, and if they're not, that to get a chance to rebuild. And wishing everyone a nice weekend.
Yeah, and Happy New Year to all our listeners.
Yes, cool. All right, thanks. Bye.
So.